What should the Christian's attitude be towards work? Is work a curse? Is work something to be avoided if one becomes a Christian? What should one's attitude be toward work? In our passage in Ephesians today, Paul is going to touch on this. Now, he's not going to give all the teaching concerning the subject, but he will give us some help as to what our attitude should be in this area. We're in Ephesians 4, this lovely book of the New Testament. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you who are listening are reading the book so that when you hear these messages, you're already familiar with the passage and that these things will just all begin to fit together. As we read this, we realize it's God's word given through his servant, the Apostle Paul. It's living, it's powerful. The scripture says sharper than any two-edged sword. And I hope that the word, as you listen to it, is changing your life. If you're not a Christian, that you're coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. If you are a Christian, that these messages are being of real help to you. In Ephesians 4, he begins dealing here with social relationships. In other words, our relationships with one another. In the first three chapters, he's dealt especially with our relationship with God. And that's basic. Until we get right with God, until we know we're in a right relationship with him, we'll never really be right with our fellow man. And that's the problem in the world today. And so after he's dealt with that, and he talks about how we can know that our sins are forgiven, and how we can know that we're right with the Lord, then in chapter 4 he goes into dealing with the relationship we have with our fellow man in the church, and then in our contacts with other people too who are not believers. He talks in verses 17 through 24 about right thinking. All of our actions flow from our thinking. So our thinking is very important, isn't it? Don't let anyone tell you. It doesn't matter what you think. It's just what you do. It's our thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's our thinking. It's our thought life that's going to produce the actions that we do. And so Paul says, be careful of your thinking. In verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 25, he talks about being truthful, being honest with one another. In verses 26 and 27, he says, be sure your anger is short-lived. Don't carry anger. Don't carry a grudge. Now in 28, he gets into the area here of work. And he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that has need. Perhaps before you were a Christian, you were a thief. Now, I don't mean that you necessarily went out and broke into people's homes, or that you held up a bank or anything like that, but that basically there were many little ways in which you could steal. You could steal from your employer. You could bring home notebooks, pencils, little things that were not yours. If you work in a grocery store, it's always easy to put something out on the by the back door and pick it up later. Many ways in which people steal. It's almost become a way of life. Thinking that if you can get away with it and you're not caught, it's all right. People steal from the government, falsify their income tax, or in one way or another, try to get away without paying the taxes that they should. And in many ways, people try to steal and do steal. Here he says, let's live lives that are open and honest. Don't take anything that is not your own. But to the contrary, he says, don't have an attitude here that the world or society or the government owes me a living. The scripture says, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. And The scripture emphasizes the fact that if it's possible, each man should make his own living. We live in a culture where there's a tremendous amount of, welfare mentality, where a lot of people think the government owes me a living. In fact, there are some families that have been on welfare for generation after generation after generation. Aid to dependent children. There are mothers who have no intention of marrying. They'll sleep with this man and with that man, and they'll have children, and they'll say, that let the government support me. And there's a lot of careless thinking in this area. Now, scripture says that here, instead of having that attitude and that mentality, the Christian attitude is to work and be productive. Work is not the result of the curse. Now he says thorns and thistles, and those things that make work disagreeable and cause work to become sometimes painful labor. This is a result of the fall. But work itself is good for man. And before Adam and Eve fell, God had given them this garden in which to live. And he told them to care for it. He told them to tend it. He told them to dress it, to be a good steward of this which he had put in their hands, to work. And work is not regarded there by God as a curse, but as something that is good and helpful for man. And so I'd like to stress this, because we live in a day when it seems that people often regard work as something to be avoided, if at all possible. And many people sort of really view their work as a necessary evil. They endure it, you know, and they're living for the weekend, counting the days until Friday. And then finally, 4:30 or 5 o'clock, Friday comes. Now we can do what we want to do. And their whole work activity just seems to be a curse to them. It's a wrong concept, a wrong attitude. Here he says, labor, work, be productive. Don't only just work for that which will meet your needs. Some people live very selfishly this way, and some people have the attitude, everything that I get is mine, I can do what I wish with it, and there are some, and who even have the attitude, I'll work as little as I can. I'm just going to live for pleasure and live for what I want to do. And that's all I'm concerned for. Here he says, listen, be productive. Make more than you actually need so that you can share with others that have need. In other words, instead of being a stealer, become a giver. Isn't it wonderful what the grace of God can do? I have been in meetings, in Christian meetings, with a man who once held up a bank and who spent time in prison and became a believer. And now he's out and he's in society and he's productive. He's working. Instead of stealing, he's working. Instead of taking from others, now he has the joy of giving to the Lord and to those who are in need. What a change. And this is what the grace of God can do in a life. So Paul here, as he writes, says, be productive. Work with your hands the thing that is good. Labor and work are not a curse. And a man's work is not something for which he should be ashamed. And working with your hands, manual labor, is not something that's a disgrace. There are different kinds of work, and some may do work that is white-collar work. You may work at a desk. You may work with computers. You may work with instruments. This, too, is necessary, vital work. But on the other hand, we should never look down on the man who works with his hands. His work, too, is necessary and productive and vital. And the Lord Jesus himself, and you know, it humbles me when I think about this, the Lord Jesus himself worked with his hands until he was 30 years of age. And in Nazareth he was known not as Jesus the great preacher. He was known as Jesus the carpenter. And the Lord Jesus has forever dignified work and sanctified work by his life and by the labor of his own hand. And so I hope that you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus and you love him, that you'll have a positive attitude towards your work, and that you'll view it here as a blessing, that you'll view it as a means whereby you can provide that which helps others. If you're in construction, you're building homes, businesses, whatever it is, this is helpful, this is vital for society. Whatever your work is, you're helping to meet the needs of others. And then to also view the income that you get now as a blessing from God, and you can give to God. And let me just mention here something about giving. He says, don't steal, work that you may have to give to him that has need. Work is to be done for the Lord in a wholehearted way. Giving, then, when we receive our income, when we get that check, it's a stewardship, and I am responsible then to use it and use it wisely for God, to spend it wisely, not to spend it wastefully. And in the Bible, giving, proportionate giving, has always been encouraged. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were required to give 10%, and then they could give more. They could give free will offerings besides. In the New Testament, no percentage is stipulated. It isn't required. There isn't the same legalistic framework. But regular, proportionate giving is encouraged. A man is to give as God has prospered him, the Bible says. A man is to give generously. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. A man is to give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful, joyful giver. God does not want you to give if you are giving with reluctance. God wants you to give with joy in your heart because you love him. Giving is to be done secretly, not with a big display. The Lord warns against this in Matthew 6. And giving is to be to those in the Lord's work, to home workers, to missionaries. It's to be to those who are needy Christians in the church fellowship of which you're a part. It's to be, if there's more than that, then to the needy around you. But the life of the Christian is to be a life of giving, not stealing, not selfish living, but a generous, wholehearted life for God. Is that your kind of life? I hope it's your desire.